Thank you for subscribing and listening to CERT News. This edition accompanies the November 2015 issue, which can be found on our website at www.unf.edu/CIRT/newsletters.
This is Deb Miller, Director of CERT, and in this edition of the newsletter, I'd like to talk about open educational resources, commonly called OER. Rising textbook prices are frequently reported as a challenge for higher education students. The adoption of open textbooks and other types of open educational resources has been touted as a solution, albeit one that has seen limited implementation. These rising costs have also been framed as a social justice issue. A 2012 survey of higher education students in Florida found that 64% of students sometimes do not purchase a required text because of its cost, and that 23% frequently do not purchase their texts because of cost. A concurrent study of Florida faculty and administrators found that while 75% of faculty and staff were familiar with open textbooks, less than 10% had used these in their courses. However, that trend may be changing. A recent story in the Chronicle reported that campus technology leaders are focusing efforts on encouraging faculty adoption of these materials. In addition to being lower cost, OER materials have the potential to improve student learning when they are used to provide practice opportunities and targeted feedback to students. There are several aspects to the use of online resources with low cost, open, free access, and increasing textbook affordability. Libraries are actively involved in this trend, and at UNF, the Thomas G. Carpenter Library is partnering with the Office of Faculty Enhancement and the Center for Instruction and Research Technology to develop mechanisms that support the adoption of these materials by faculty. The goals of this collaboration are to increase awareness of the e-resources provided by the library and how those resources may be used, increase awareness of open educational resource trends in publishing and sources of these resources, and to work together to encourage and support faculty who are interested in creating and/or providing open access, free or low-cost textbooks, course materials, the adoption of which may require course redesign or reorganization. The first UNF workshop to support this effort will be held in late November. And in the web version of this article, you'll find a description of the workshop and links to several websites with more information about using open educational resources.
I'm Beauty Kolink, Coordinator of Educational Media at CERT. In November's Faculty Spotlight, we highlight the faculty from the School of Nursing in the Brooks College of Health and how they support a flipped instructional model with program-wide clicker adoption. Although student handheld response systems, also known as clickers, are used at UNF in a variety of disciplines each semester, no one has committed to this teaching tool quite like the School of Nursing faculty. In a bold move that has paid off for both faculty and students, they are the first on campus to adopt clickers program-wide. Faculty voted for this program-wide adoption in order to implement interactive lecture techniques, provide students and instructors with more timely feedback, facilitate discussion of difficult topics, and better manage routine classroom tasks. Cindy Cummings, Associate Professor of Nursing at UNF, says, "A lot of us are flipping the classroom, so our classes are now filled with case studies, discussions, and highlights of the most important portions of the material rather than just lecture, and clickers are helping us to do that more effectively." In today's world, the financial burden of course materials weighs heavily on college students across the nation, and a key benefit of program-wide adoption is cost. When nursing students purchase a clicker, they know that there will be a high return on their investment because they will use the device in numerous classes throughout their program. Upon admittance to a cohort, nursing students purchase a bundle of all the materials they'll need during the nursing program, including a clicker. Nursing students use their clickers in the very first semester. It only takes a few classes for students to become adept at using the device and to get in the habit of always bringing it to lecture. There are often penalties for forgetting it. Cummings and nursing professor Kathleen Bloom use clickers heavily in their undergraduate and graduate level courses. As strong supporters of clickers in the classroom, they argue that regular use of clickers motivates students to be more prepared for class. Following flip classroom pedagogy, Bloom and Cummings require students to complete readings or other work prior to class so that they are able to engage in meaningful discussions and other content-related activities during class time, rather than simply passively listening to their professor lecture. Bloom's students know they will be quizzed with clickers at the beginning of class. She says that it serves as a good pretest to ensure that they are ready to engage in discussion and application of the lecture material for that day. Cummings echoes Bloom's sentiments, adding that they've noticed better test scores on major assessments when instructors administer frequent low-stakes clicker quizzes. Even short and simple assessments make a difference. Clickers provide an easy and environmentally friendly mechanism for Bloom and Cummings to facilitate their quizzes, record attendance each semester, keep track of the scores, and upload directly to Blackboard's Grade Center. The immediate feedback on clicker quizzes gives students either a boost in confidence or an indication that they should review the subject matter again. Bloom, Cummings, and Assistant Professor Linda Connolly say that the clicker quizzes help their students form better study habits, which leads to better performance in their courses. Another benefit of program-wide adoption is student familiarity with the technology. This provides nursing faculty with the ability to explore innovative ways to use the devices in class since their students are already familiar with how to operate it. Clickers are frequently used for iterative yet necessary tasks such as recording attendance or pop quizzes. In addition to these functions, nursing students are using clickers to complete other class activities such as working through case studies or Connolly's newest clicker endeavor, development of an in-class group activity in which students place a series of tasks on a timeline for a mock medical patient case. This activity has been facilitated with index cards in the past, but Connolly is now able to take advantage of clicker technology to complete this exercise digitally, which allows her to easily record and score results. Senior instructor Bill Ahrens uses clickers to facilitate critical class dialogue about sensitive issues that students tend to be uncomfortable discussing without the anonymity that clickers can provide. Presented with a delicate question, students do not always feel comfortable contributing or even raising their hand. Clicker opinion polls provide Ahrens students the freedom to express their opinions on delicate subjects without fear of judgment by their peers, even when their view is in the minority. Aaron says that this freedom allows him to challenge his students with the difficult or taboo topics that nursing professionals need to be comfortable discussing. Bloom, Cummings, Connolly, and Aaron's all stress the importance of clickers in the development of their students' decision-making skills, an integral part of nursing in the real world. Linda Connolly says, "In nursing, it's not just memorization. You look at your patient and you have to make a decision. Right or wrong, you have to decide what to do and you don't have hours to figure it out." The use of clickers helps the students get used to making decisions and builds critical thinking skills. There's no going back once you've made your decision, and that's how it is in nursing. Connolly sees applications for clicker integration in all areas of study. She says, 18 and 19-year-olds love technology. One of the best things about this technology is that it gives immediate feedback. Students know right away if they've got this or if they need to go back and review the material again. Whether it's English, sociology, biology, religion, or chemistry, all classes can benefit from that type of immediate feedback. Ahrens knows that not all programs are structured like his. Nursing faculty have the benefit of knowing the course progression of their students' studies over the 5-semester program. However, even without that established track, he would recommend clickers to other faculty members. He says, "I know there are people doing pop quizzing and faculty teaching issues-related courses. Clickers would definitely supplement the experience for the professors and their students." If you think that your program could benefit from the use of this teaching tool and are interested in learning more, please contact CERT for further information by emailing clickers@unf.edu. We can also facilitate a clicker demonstration for you or your department to help answer any questions. In this issue's digital thinking piece, we will be discussing how little hot air balloons can help keep students engaged during class. Engaging students in a classroom setting with clickers is not a new concept at UNF. Faculty members across disciplines currently employ the university's Turning Point handheld student response system in their courses. While often used for administering quizzes, recording attendance, or polling student opinions, Turning Point has additional features that can aid in the ongoing battle to keep students engaged during lecture. At the beginning of October, CERT hosted an advanced clicker workshop for UNF faculty who have already adopted clickers in previous semesters. Led by Turning Point trainer Steve Sheely, workshop participants learned about additional features and tips for advanced data analysis. The full workshop recording is available online at CERT's YouTube page. A highlight of the session came in an unexpected form: small hot air balloons. Sheely demonstrated the clicker competition tool that allows instructors to group students into teams and set up in-class competitions as a way to shake up traditional one-way lecture paradigms and facilitate interaction between students. Little hot air balloons represent each team on screen and will rise or lower on the leaderboard depending on the team's score. Groups answer questions and are awarded points based on a combination of answer accuracy and timeliness of response. Amy Kagi, teaching laboratory manager in the Department of Biology, attended the Advanced Clicker Workshop and has already begun to see a positive response to the implementation of clicker competitions in her class. She used competitions as a vehicle to facilitate an exam review class in her lecture of 130 students. Kagi says, "This was one of the rowdiest days of lecture. The competition became very exciting for the students, and they enjoyed the gaming aspect of the experience. They were receptive to learning from their mistakes and really got into it when I gave them the option to wager points on certain questions." Kagi incentivized the competition further by awarding extra credit to the winning team. She explained that over the course of the semester, some of her students had become lackadaisical about participating with clickers in regular lectures, but during the competition, she noted a marked increase in the students' engagement. Thanks to her overwhelming success and positive student response, she plans to use the competition feature for future review sessions. If you are interested in adopting clickers or including clicker competitions in your lectures, please contact CERT at clickers@unf.edu for support. For more information about clickers at UNF and the adoption process, visit the CERT Clicker website.
Hi, this is Julie Fuller, instructional designer for CERT, and this article will focus on the benefits of providing feedback to students. One of the most important elements in any course is providing students with formative and summative feedback about their performance and progress. Consistent, ongoing, and detailed feedback can have a positive effect on student success in online courses, specifically with regard to increasing student self-confidence, self-efficacy, and self-esteem. Self-confidence refers to a student's belief in him or herself, while self-efficacy refers to a student's estimation that they can succeed at a specific task or tasks within a given domain. According to Tina Stravades in Effective Online Teaching, Foundations and Strategies for Student Success, self-efficacy influences the effort that learners put forth, how long they persist at a task when confronted with obstacles, and how they feel about the task. Both self-confidence and self-efficacy directly contribute to a student's overall self-esteem. If students can relate their effort with their success, their self-esteem is positively affected. When creating feedback for students individually and as a class, you can build student confidence by stressing effort over ability, as effort is something within the student's control. This is an important concept in providing supportive feedback and direction, as the feedback that is communicated to students can be either a key motivator or discouragement. Specific, concise, and actionable feedback goes beyond simply posting a grade or level of achievement, and instead offers students personalized strategies for activating prior knowledge, improving performance, and/or maintaining success. While online learning can have many advantages, including improvements in students' computer skills and extended time for students to think critically in order to apply knowledge to practical scenarios, online learning also comes with challenges. One potential challenge of online learning is the reduced interaction between and among the students and course facilitators. There are typically four types of interactions that take place in both online and face-to-face courses, including student-to-instructor interaction, student-to-student interaction, student-to-content interaction, and student-to-technology interaction. Strategies for facilitating these types of interactions vary within online and face-to-face courses. Regardless, these types of interactions have a significant impact on students' engagement in the course and with the course content. Chakraborty and Nafuko note that the content and level of interactions influence learning climate positively. One of the many benefits of providing personal and detailed feedback to students in online classes is the ability to enhance and strengthen the student-instructor interaction and relationship. Students typically value constructive feedback from their instructors, as the feedback can be perceived as a means of establishing interpersonal and social relationships within the course. This is especially beneficial for students who may be reluctant or uncomfortable with approaching instructors or who may feel isolated in the online environment. Providing feedback that is timely and relevant is also key for empowering students to use the feedback to not only evaluate their current performances, but also to incorporate into their future performance. Delayed or untimely feedback can result in students not valuing the feedback process or the feedback itself. The same can be said for offering students generic, impersonal feedback. The investment of time is almost always a concern for faculty when it comes to grading and constructing feedback for students. Effectively using technology to assist and enhance the feedback process can be a successful time management strategy. In the article, Teaching Today's Online Students, Errol Craig Soule points out that a solid integration of technology with the course materials can keep students engaged, particularly if those students are tech savvy and are accustomed to the immediacy of technology. Consider the formats in which you offer feedback to students. While written feedback is the traditional method used by most instructors, it can sometimes be time-consuming and can run the risk of failing to make clear to students how exactly to improve their performance or shift their ways of interacting with the course materials. Additional challenges for students trying to decipher written feedback are unintentional vague statements, illegible handwriting, or a lack of cohesion within the feedback. Written feedback can be enhanced or improved upon by combining or replacing it with audio, video, or screencast feedback. Recording audio feedback using a free, open-source recording tool like Audacity is an easy way to verbally review students' work as you are grading it. The audio files can be exported to MP3 format and delivered to students through the learning management system. Audio feedback can assist students with reviewing their performance on assessments, as the verbal cues and stresses and intonation help point toward areas on which students should focus. Marion Orsman found that students appreciated audio feedback because it was perceived as being of good quality, was easier to understand, had more depth, and was more personal than written feedback. Staff found audio feedback particularly valuable to explain complex ideas, and consequently, more student understanding could be gained from the spoken word. Video feedback can be equally as successful, as it combines the voice inflection cues of audio recordings with the ability for students to see the instructor's facial cues and body language. Video feedback can easily be recorded directly in Blackboard, then published to YouTube using Blackboard's Video Everywhere tool. It should be noted that a best practice for uploading video feedback to YouTube is to make sure that the videos are marked as unlisted so that they cannot be searched for on the site. Screencasting with video and audio using programs like Screencast-O-Matic, which is free, or Camtasia, which requires a license, can further enhance feedback by combining the verbal and body language cues with an on-screen recording of the student's actual work, which can be helpful for pointing toward areas of weaknesses and strengths. Both video and screencasting files can be exported to MP4 formats and provided to students through the learning management system. In a study on the efficiency of providing video feedback to students, Crook et al. Found that not only did students find video feedback to be easy, clear to understand in comparison to normal methods of feedback, students suggested that the feedback was more extensive, informative, the key points were better emphasized, and that it aided their visualization of the task through demonstrations and/or diagrams. In this same study, it was determined that, in general, video was found to take a similar amount of time for instructors to create to other methods of generic feedback provision. It should be noted that for students requiring accommodations, additional steps like captioning or providing a transcript may be needed to make sure that their audio, video, or screencast feedback is accessible. This is not to say that audio, video, or screencast feedback should replace written feedback, but rather that these types of feedback can enhance the overall feedback process, which directly impacts instructor presence and student performance. Based on the assessment being evaluated, one or more types of feedback, including written, audio, video, and screencast feedback, might be utilized in order to communicate which areas of their performance students should focus on or prioritize. Stavridis suggests that ongoing feedback can help learners build confidence by communicating specifically what they are doing well, as well as how they can improve performance. Stavridis advises that detailed feedback should include specifics about the areas of the assessment in which the student excelled, specifics about the areas of the assessment where the learner needs improvement, actionable directives for continued or improved performance, and positive reinforcement. Additionally, Crook et al. Suggests that the process for generating detailed feedback aim to engage students so that they can make use of the feedback, make efficient use of instructor time, and return feedback to students in a time frame that enables them to incorporate the feedback for success in future assessments. Regardless of the type of feedback being provided to students, it is important to communicate the purpose of the feedback and the process through which it will be delivered. This will help provide direction to students about how to interact with their individual feedback so that they can get the most out of it while potentially contributing to instructor presence and student self-confidence, self-efficacy, and self-esteem. If you have further questions or curiosities about constructing and delivering feedback to students, please contact CERT for assistance.
Thank you for subscribing and listening to CERT News. You can find the full version and past editions of our newsletter on our website at www.unf.edu/cert/newsletters. Have a great day.